Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome on BBS Radio and the conference call. This is Wednesday, our questions and answers. I am Donna from Great Falls, Montana. Heist is running late this evening. I wish to welcome everyone tonight. And please, if you want to submit questions, now's the time to get them in. So we still have other callers coming in. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Thank you. It's Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you,
Marilyn,
Donna.
Number one.
All right. And good evening, next caller. Would you like to say your name and location?
Oh, I accidentally hung up, but this is Kathy from California.
Well, welcome back, sweetheart.
Hello, Donna. This is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call this evening, and insanity is running wild here.
Oh, good.
Well, good evening. We have more callers come in. When you have a chance, say your name and location, please.
Joanna, Chicago.
Nice for you to call, Joanna. Welcome to the call.
Joni, St. Louis.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
This is Joni in St. Louis.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Joni. It's Marilyn. We miss
Hi,
you.
Hi, Marilyn. Oh, yeah. I'll be there maybe next week.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Welcome to the call this evening.
Thanks.
All right. We've had two more callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger.
Hi.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Illinois. Hey, welcome to the call this evening.
Thank you, thank you. And please, everyone, to ask a question for me. I wrote the email. It's kind of an emergency about my very, very sick dog that's going to die today, probably.
Okay, your phone call is breaking up real bad. I heard emergency dog. That's all I heard.
Yes. My dog, the dog is about to be euthanized, but he's really sick, and I want to know if there's a chance for him to get out of it, and say maybe I should take him home, and is there a way to save him?
Okay, you have to submit your question through the, I believe it's the Spirit Channel.
Yes.
My question's at Intelligent Infinity.
All right, we've had other callers come in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Good evening, it's Eric in Santa Fe. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, good evening, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, dear.
Well, you're welcome. And caller, would you like to say your name and location?
It's Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Marilyn, welcome to the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, we had someone else come in. Would you like to say your name and location? Well, good evening. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Hi, Donna. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. I love you, Terry. Terry.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Hi,
Hello,
Terry.
Hi, Terry. Good evening, Terry.
Hi.
I've not heard when yet.
Okay. I'll go and see what's going on. He's probably collecting questions.
That's true. That's true. I do know we have one about emergency about a dog this evening.
Well, this
Morgan
is Sedona
in California.
Jim. This is Sedona. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
A dog, and we have to pray for some families that lost.
Okay, I heard Jim. I heard Jim come in, and then there's a lady that came in. Would you like to say your name and location?
Well, I'm not the lady, obviously.
I know you're not a lady.
You're just saying.
There's a lady from California who seems a bit distressed about a dog.
Ah. All right. Well, welcome to the call, Jim, anyway.
Well, I'm here, and I'm looking forward to magic.
Did the dog question submit the question to the email process?
Is there anyone else who'd like to say their name and location?
This is Wynn. Can you hear me?
Yes, Wynn. I can hear you.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Oh, well, thank you.
A little in the background, but you're there.
I'm not very loud today.
No.
That's better.
I can hear you.
I need channel through Jim.
Yeah.
I think Jim is here. Jim is here.
Hey, Wynn. Somebody said they had an emergency question about a dog, but I don't know if they submitted the question online or not. They're on the line here somewhere.
I got it. I got their question.
Good.
First on the list.
Okay, recording.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
All right, good show.
Can I go? Let's see here. This is September 2nd, 2015, Wynn and Terry in Arizona, all of you everywhere. And it is so amazing how fast the time flies from Monday to Wednesday to Saturday to Sunday on these calls. You know, this idea that time speeds up during this call, and that's an indication that you're accessing another dimension, and that as you keep coming to the calls, it starts to bleed over into your life, and time starts speeding up in your life. And if you're not having this experience, just hang on, because, you know, it's kind of a process of clearing old patterns. And you don't have to try very hard. You know, in the old paradigm, you know, we all know that we are, how would we say it? We all have our dysfunctional sides, our shadow sides. And in the old paradigm, you kind of have to confront it, and you have to go to healings and psychiatrists and, you know, whatever you do, because I'm screwed up, but I need therapy. So in this new paradigm, and this is just my observation, I'm not saying this out of my logic, but it's my observation that we start getting familiar with a new dimension, which then looks like time going faster. That's my way of noticing when you're actually expanding your consciousness into another dimension. Now, I think that I used to have, and maybe some of you have, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but we think that our body, it's like if you're going to New York, you move your body from wherever you are to New York, and you're moving from here to here. But as you expand your dimension, your hologram, suddenly, your body may not be in New York, but your energy is in New York. And then we focus energy in a location or to someone, and something happens. This is like a whole new concept for many people. So you have to experiment with it. We all can do it. Just send your energy to people you care about. Practice it. And just notice what happens. But so we're not only moving our energy field to New York City, we're moving our energy field. It's not moving it, but it's like moving it would mean it left here and went there. But in the law of one, there is no here and there is no there. So what happens is you're there and you're here. And it's hard to put that into words. But if you I'm putting it in a concept you can think about. And the same thing goes with time. In the higher truth, there is no past, there is no future. And in higher timelines, energy moves faster. And so when you start accessing a higher timeline, it's like you experience that. Time moves fast. See, where did the time go? When started talking, an hour was up. God, it seemed like 5 minutes. And I'm learning this experience as well because I'm a good observer. And so I draw my conclusions from observing things carefully. And, you know, I'm good at putting things in simple ways so people can grasp them intuitively. So we're talking about spiritual growth in a very functional way where you can be here and there. What was that Beatles song? Here, there, everywhere. It's like you can be in all time, and maybe you're not going to be in all time and all space, but you can start moving into a higher timeline. And your past lifetimes are not in the past. They're all embedded in your soul right now. At past, you were really who you are now, expressing through a different body. And that body was continuing to program who you are. So who you are is like this amorphous flow, continually transforming itself in the moment. And if you move into time, then it looks like there's a past moment and a future moment. But if you start to move higher in time, there's only what spiritual groups would call the eternal now. And we are striving in this group, at least I am, to learn how to hold the space of the eternal now, where there's no past and there's no future, there's no karma, there's just now. And this doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of your body, you shouldn't eat well, you shouldn't exercise, you should, you know, pay your bills. And all those things are the challenges of being in a body in this realm. And when you can really think about it, you think what a miracle it is that a body can exist with consciousness and the ability to intend. And it's part of God in this realm. And we are all having that experience right now. And if you kind of grasp that on a really deep level, it can help you release so much garbage, okay? Because if you are part of the Creator and you have that aspect of the Creator in you and you want something to change, then all you, I say all, it's easier said than done. I don't mean to make it sound so easy. But all you have to do is intend with the Creator part of yourself to recreate yourself so that different aspects that you want to be there are there. And Jerry, are you there?
Yes,
Jerry,
I'm here. I'm here. Yes.
You are. Were you muted?
I was. I usually mute myself so if I make a noise, it doesn't carry.
You mean when you make a noise?
Right.
So, did you have any comments on what I just said?
Yes, if you want to learn more about it in detail, the channelings on Sunday particularly have been going into that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and time is, if you get used to listening to the channel sources, at least for me, channeling them, time, when I'm channeling them or listening, it goes very much faster.
Yeah, we're actually learning by having the experience. And it's not just the words they say. It's the energy, the track of the energy that's in between the words. You know, it reminds me of a song I wrote a long time ago, which I think when I was young, I was very intuitively sharp. I didn't even appreciate myself because no one else appreciated me. So I figured now I go back, I look at it, like I have this song called you gotta dig the spaces. You know what I mean? You gotta dig the spaces. The things just ain't what they seem. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of lyrics, but really, I was really tapping into this idea that if you notice when I'm talking and I leave a space, the space has energy in it. And you can monitor that in yourself, in your own talking to people, and see if you can stop and energy flows in, or if you feel like you have to entertain the other person, it won't happen because you'll keep trying to close the spaces and fill it with ideas, words, whatever, to be interesting. And it's like I'm learning not to try to be interesting and just to be in the space. And then the spaces have energy. And of course, when Terry's channeling, holding for the next words, we're in the zone of the space. So, how about if we get started, Terry? If there's anybody new on the line today, thank you so much for being here. And I hope you get the feel of this because it definitely has a feel to it. It's not non-linear. It's one way of saying it. It's non-linear. Like, it's not supposed to... it does make sense at a certain level. It makes sense. But on another level, it's not like a lecture, like a college lecture. How old is it? Linear. Like one thing has to lead to the next. You know, what I've noticed is when I'm talking, I feel everybody. And I don't try to do this, but I feel people. I feel you. And oftentimes, people say, you said exactly what I was thinking. Or you address the situation that I was working on. And I'm not doing any of that on a conscious level. And I don't even know I'm doing it. It's just like, but I do know I'm doing it. And I know I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it. I mean, because what happens is when I slow down and I say, feel the spaces, we have momentarily maybe a group mind, and that if I start talking, I made a connection with you, and we're part of the same mind. But I don't even know that I'm doing that. It's not like I am doing it at a conscious level. And yet, I know it happens, so that's how I would explain it to myself. Okay? So on that note here, let me see if there's any important questions I missed. Just for people that are new, you know, we have 3 calls a week. We have Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday. And the calls are all different. And the Sunday call is, in general, the most popular, and it's the most important. Because on the Sunday call, we focus on going into the space. We focus on bringing in energy. We focus on creating group intentions for healing ourselves, for healing our planet. And the energy is really high, and people feel our sources, and then they talk to us. So it's a very interesting experience to feel this energy from apparently invisible intelligence, to feel it. And then suddenly that invisible intelligence has a voice coming through Terry, and they say, hey, that's us you're feeling. And they say, we're looking at each of you. And it took me a while to believe that. I mean, they say they're looking at each of you. They don't violate free will, so somebody says, you better not look at me because get out of my face, man. They won't do it. They'll just stay out. You can listen to it on another level. But they can energetically intertwine with your energy. And it's very empowering. And they don't want anything in return. You know, from their point of view, this realm has gotten really screwed up. And lots of us have gotten really screwed up. And lots of us have gotten our energies all out of balance. And we keep looking, what can I find to balance my energy? And it's hard to find things in the world to do that. And then you have this group soul that says, we can help you balance your energy. We'll just come in and let us in. And it's like having a friend. It's like having a friend that you may not be able to see them, but they're always there. They're kind of like a background program. And it's something that you have to experience experientially. So I'm just saying it so maybe it'll help you look for it. Look for the experience, and it will encourage it to occur. Now, let's get started. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Sa'an. And we are a combination of part of the Ba group and part of the Elohim group. We have gotten together in order to assist or answer questions that you may have. And we take a moment and we come further in to the third density and manifest further. You may see the color pink. It is our interface with your energies. Just as light is an interface with the third density or matter. Do you have questions?
Yeah, we do. I promised Sarah, who is in Evanston, Illinois, to ask her question. Because right now, as I read her email correctly, she is going to the ER Animal Hospital. The dog has a slim chance of survival, 5 to 20%. Should I keep him alive? Is there a chance for him? He has pneumonia and developing more and more problems daily. It happened one day after his owner, which is my mother, went on vacation to Europe. I and my husband are taking care of him. I am devastated as I view him also as my dog. I'll be listening to your show on my way to the vet hospital. He has trouble breathing. If I treat him at home, will he get better? He's also lost his eyesight because he was not able to breathe and oxygen did not get to his brain for too long. The veterinarian said he is suffering, but I am not convinced. I need help with making this difficult decision. The dog is 8 years old. His name is Oliver, and I'm on my way to ER, which is in Crestwood, Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you. We tune in to Oliver, and we see that there is some objection to the absence of someone, and is it Oliver is going to find them? Oliver has a will of his own. Nature can take its course in this matter, and you can make it easier on Oliver by talking to him and letting him know that you are there by petting him. He is on his own journey. And if he passes on now, that is something of his choosing. It will happen naturally. And so if it happens without interference, then he remains in control. He is on his own journey. That is our answer. Lynn, are you here?
I'm sorry. That was a beautiful answer. Would you say that that's true in most cases, even in humans, where people are still alive and somebody is thinking they may be doing them a favor by taking them out of their misery?
It is better that they move at their own speed. Retain the ability to change their mind if they find another answer.
Thank you. So a person can pull the plug on themselves when they feel it's time. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Elizabeth. Elizabeth Woodring. And let me see, where is she? Ithaca, New York. I talk to my deceased parents all the time. But if they choose to reincarnate, they probably aren't hearing me, right? Or if they're in new 3D bodies, do they feel the energy of love I feel for them when I think of them? Beth in Ithaca, New York.
Thank you. They will feel the energy. However, if they are engaged with all their senses in a new life, in a new creation, then the energy and the connection will still be there, but it will have become more distant as their focus changes and their focus is in the creation of a new life in the moment. And we speak slowly, as we speak not only to you, but we speak to them. One needs to be careful when someone passes on that they do not make them feel guilty and like they need to stay around and that they need to do something still with their past life when they are moving into the future. And this can stick them in their path forward.
I would guess that all of us have all kinds of energies coming at us from associations in the past, and maybe good and bad energies. And the Native Americans always talk about how your ancestors are with you. Is this correlative?
The Indians are brought up to have their ancestors as part of their platform for their new life. And the ancestors are more attuned to being available to the new life form. The individual, each individual, is unique unto himself. Many people will wait for their relatives to cross over so they can welcome them and have a joyous homecoming. Others, particularly if their life has been cut short, seek to jump right back into the third density game. And then in that case, their memories will begin to be set aside for for new experiences.
I would assume that we have billions of beings in the astral field of planet Earth, and that they are always interfacing to some degree, maybe not always, but often interfacing with the physical aspect of Earth, even though most of us are not aware of it. Is that true?
There are billions that are in the astral. There was a time when millions of years ago beings were brought to Earth. Many beings, millions of beings. And then when they arrived at Earth, they were released upon Earth. And so Earth has many discarnate entities that are looking for a home or looking to find themselves to stabilize.
And as I understand it, the beings that are in the astral need to have earthbound experience in order to evolve. It's hard to evolve and grow in the astral. Is that accurate?
The interface is these beings in particular are hard to interface with because their lives was cut short and there were no bodies to take on. And they were confused and lost, felt lost. And they are seeking to recover.
Thank you. Bonnie in Corona asks, I am reading The Law of One again. And my expanded understanding of the truth in it is rather emotional this time around. How grateful I am for my cherished connection with our beloved sources. Thank you for enabling this opportunity, Wynn and Terry, and I'm honored to be a part of this work. My boyfriend and I have known each other since 2007. And we share a big energetic connection. He has unconsciously helped me grow, and he jokingly says he must be one of my crew members aboard our invisible machine from a previous life. Can you tell me some of the distortions and or potentials in our relationship? Love and light to everyone on the call and listening to the replay.
Thank you. Sometimes joking has more truth in it than one thinks at the time. And there is a coincidence of belief systems and history that you share, which makes an understanding beyond the usual understandings.
Thank you. Jim, in Medford, New Jersey, I'm just going to he asks about Ra'an, and it is Ra'an a unique, never-before-considered combination of Ra and the Elohim? Or is this something that's happened before? And have they done this in other worlds? and what reasons have to be in place to do so, okay? You know, Jim, I think that we had this unusual situation where I was intensely studying the Ra group, and I had a connection with the Ra group that was deep and ancient, and that through Dee and Terry, there was the introduction of the Elohim group. But I was carrying the frequencies of the Ra group, and so that we started carrying the frequencies of both groups, and that enabled them to associate, to work with us in the way that's happening. And so maybe I would ask the question also, do they ever associate independently of somebody in this realm carrying their frequencies?
Thank you. We see that this is a unique situation in that you were a catalyst to ask one group while the other group was listening. And you would ask a question of one group, and you would ask a question of the other group. You'd ask a question of the Ra group, and then you'd ask a question of the Elohim group. And we had insights into the Ra group that weren't being expressed, and the Ra group had some misunderstandings about our group, which we had to address to straighten out. And we came through this connection and beginning of communication between the two groups to have an understanding and a communication. And we got together and decided that both us, the Elohim group and us, the Ra group, we even wished the voice to be a little lower for the Ra group, to get together to give broader understanding, broader answers, and provide a greater range of answers based upon the Ra experience and the Elohim experience. And we wish to speak higher when we speak up to us, the Elohim.
So the Ra group got over the Elohim being too mathematical and scientific.
Yes, for instance, the Ra group being in the, having spent time in the third density, lost the feet off the ground position of being able to let go and just go into the mathematics of it all. And they were very grounded. And the Elohim, we cannot give up the mathematics section, because in the third density, you have a very specific set of mathematics. But the Elohim group has access to more sets of equations, more potentials, more possibilities. And we find that very satisfying, very fulfilling to us.
So the work we're doing is actually modifying the fabric of the universe slightly.
Well, it's making it an opportunity for communication between
right
and the Elohim us. Us.
And Jim asks, also has the Ra'an group, well, I think we've kind of answered this. He says, has the Ra'an group formed specifically to assist the many graduated souls that have volunteered to be here at this time to increase the chances of success in this realm at this
yes.
time?
Yes. Yes. And us, the Ra group, our heart goes out to our brothers that have gone into their density to help raise the tone. Also, now we want to see Kaya, the Elohim have sent people also, and our heart goes out to them, and we hope they never forget where they came from. And the Ra group, it's like sending the St. Bernard to find the lost hiker. We see our lost hiker struggling, and we wish to send them sustenance. And we picture a big St. Bernard with a little barrel of water around his neck, searching out these members of the Ra group who are thirsty for love and compassion that they have not totally found in their density.
Hey, would it help someone to have an imaginary Saint Bernard walking around with them, like giving them love?
Yes, and sustenance and nutritious liquid to rehabilitate the
manifestation. Okay, there we go. We've all got Ra Bernards. Okay. All right. We have here a question from Helene. Now, Helene, you did not send me, unless I'm missing it here, I don't see your location, but I think there's enough energy here to get an answer, okay? Dear one, I'm new to you completely, but feel drawn as well to what you have to share. I've moved into my parents' home to care for them now for almost 6 years. I had to hire a new caregiver for my mom, and I had hired a professional thief. Her intent was to steal from the beginning. She stole my roommate's jewelry, all my mom's, and all of mine. The amount was enormous. It's as if she stole from four households worth of jewelry all in one house. I feel responsible because my dad asked me for over a year or so to sell the jewelry or do something with it. He wasn't comfortable with it in the house. I feel betrayed from a woman who gained our trust and befriended us. Why does this happen? Does it mean anything? And why does my dad have to die now, knowing we were robbed by a caregiver? Since the robbery, he has gone downhill very rapidly. Same with my mom. It seems sad to me for them to go with this tragic twist at the very end. Sad for me as well to not have any jewelry left of mine or my mom's after all this. Thank you, Helene.
Thank you. There is a lesson in this for your father. Your father had a premonition of this. Your father needed to take more energy, more communication, explaining his premonition. This was built upon the potential that was there lurking. It does not mean that it needed to happen, but it was set up in the on the creative side for it to happen, and the G's took part in the energy. Your father had a premonition of this. He needs to give himself credit for seeing, for foreseeing what could have happened. And he needs, and you need, and the family needs, to replace the money and wealth and the jewels with unconditional love for each of your family members, to not have so much attention upon that. Your father cannot take the jewels with him. You cannot take the jewelry with you. Your family cannot take it with you, and need to reset to where you are at the time being and replace that loss with love that you have had each other in your life, and let it go and do forgive. Forgiving is hard, and it doesn't mean you have to talk to her. It doesn't mean you can't be mad at her, but to let the strings that took at your heartstrings go so that you can heal from it.
Perhaps when something like that happens, we are so conditioned to exalt physical objects' value. It's in our race consciousness in this country. And that when someone disturbs your physical objects, you could look at it as a lesson to detach yourself from it. And it sounds to me like you still have a roof over your head, you still have a car, you still have food in the refrigerator, and that instead of counting one's blessings, one is mourning for the loss of material goods that were, yes, it was jewelry, yes, it was sentimental, all that stuff, and yes, it had value in terms of money, and that's all real. But sometimes we attract things to us because we need the lesson of detachment from this realm. And that if you're attached to all those things and you die with that attachment, then that, I would imagine, would be something that would keep you bound to the realm. So if this is a lesson that can be used to create more love between everybody, you couldn't pay for that lesson. It's invaluable. In any case, let me let our sources comment so I don't have the last word.
Sometimes when a person dies, it takes the transition to learn the true value of life. And looking at life from the other side, the individual will then realize the importance of the connection with family, with other individuals, and the connection and all the emphasis upon the gold or the jewelry stage and importance in retrospect to know how valuable the connection is with the family and with the individuals.
Thank you. Okay, we got 3 minutes for one more question. Okay, and I'm going to go with David Morton's question. And he's talking about a book that he walked the Americas recently, which tells the story of numerous tribal legends of a pale-skinned, bearded prophet, and that he arrived on one of three large sailing ships and made contact with many tribes. And he dressed in a white gown with cross stitches in the hem and wore golden sandals. And he walked on water and performed many healings. And he tried to stop the natives making sacrifices. Talked about the Father and one God. And of course, the implication is that this was Jesus. And the interesting thing is, the Mormons, the Book of Mormon, has somewhat of a similar story that said Jesus had come to the Americas. And could you make any comment on this?
Thank you. This also jives and is consistent with the information in the Men That Walked With Jesus book, wherein Terry Friedman, who sets forth the life of Matthew and the life of Jesus, tells about Jesus' trip on a sailing ship to the Americas.
It's 6:54. We're supposed to be off in 1 minute. We can probably take 2 minutes. And I can... somebody asked a question. It's very interesting. You know, we had these two questions came in right after each other. Helene had the question about the jewelry, and someone else had the question of, let's see, this is from Nina. She doesn't say where she is. Right? Her question is, what's the best way to keep burglars out of my house?
First of all, you might take a look at where you live and the crime rate in the neighborhood. Sometimes when one lives in an area of high crime rate or even lower sparse crime rate, they can be open to infiltration. Take another look around at your neighborhood. What is the drug rate? Is there a lot of people on drugs in your area? Because that is another indication of an opening towards infiltration. Then there are the common sense things to make sure of the locks on the doors and the windows, that someone cannot simply open the window. You can psychically, if you attune yourself, see what is the vulnerability is, and you can ask the Osteohem and the Rock group for protection in your area in your house. Love is the defensive. Love conquers all. And putting an aura of love, unconditional love, not make wrong or conditional love, but unconditional love around your house can help.
One of the things I've noticed about things like that is there's probably loads of answers to that question.
Yes.
And one of the things is like the neighborhood. Another one is your patterns. Do you leave your house unattended for long periods of time? Because if you do, that people who are burglars kind of case neighborhoods. And they look for lights, and they look for cars missing. And if they see, if a house is obviously unattended, it looks like an easy target. Another thing is to be very, very, very careful about who you let into your house. Like, I have a friend that lived in Palm Springs. And he wanted to get some contracting work done on his house. And he had found a fairly cheap Hispanic group to do the work. And very shortly thereafter, he and his wife were robbed and tied up in their home at gunpoint. And somehow he let people into his house, and there was an energy flow that leaked from that that caused him to get that to happen. And if you have allowed energy leaks in your house with people that you have connected to, it's like sometimes, particularly if you're in a bad neighborhood, to be careful about anyone you make eye contact with in your neighborhood. Because people who are criminal are also often psychic. They look for fear. They look for things, and they ride on that energy to make the decisions about whose house they're going to break into. And another thing, obviously, probably one of the best ways to keep burglars out of your house is to have a dog. Because burglars do not like dogs, and dogs do not like burglars. So on that note, those are my add-ons to that. And do our sources have anything else said?
Thank you. Deep alertness. I'm out of this channeling now, but this is Terry. I think alertness is important.
Yeah.
Alertness. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. I mean, I've learned to be really careful about who I make eye contact with and who I let read my energy. And, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And, of course, eye contact, when it's safe, it's a beautiful way to have transmission of soul energy between people. But when it's not safe, it allows people to hook into things inside of you that are private and that maybe have fear in them. And criminals look for fear. They look for it. They latch onto it because fear helps sustain the energy of their criminal act. At least that's what I think. All right, it's 7:01. I hope we didn't get shut off from BBS. Usually our Wednesday call can go later. Thank you all for being here. That was a really interesting session tonight, Terry.
Thank you.
Not that either of us remembers any of it, but in the moment it was really. Some of the stuff they were talking about, the Ra group and the Elohim group, was really cool. And anyone have, let's see, I'm just going to unmute and we can all say goodbye.
All callers are unmuted.